This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to LabCast. This is your host, Jonathan Crowe. This week, we have consultant sales coach and speaker Mike Weinberg with us. Mike is the author of the best-selling book, New Sales Simplified, the essential handbook for prospecting and new business development. Mike also has a popular website and blog at newsalescoach.com, and he was even named one of our top 25 sales influencers for 2013. I'm really excited to have Mike here with us, especially during this very busy season. It's busy for all of us, especially salespeople. It's a mad dash to the finish, as everybody knows. And it's also the season of giving. But Mike here is with us to suggest that, you know what? Salespeople should actually realize it's okay to be a little selfish. Mike, great to have you with us. Can you talk a little bit about being selfishly productive?
I sure can. Good morning, Jonathan. Great to be with you, and thanks for the invite. This is a controversial topic, and it is the season of giving, and we should all be generous with our money and with our non-work time. But I'm here to tell you something that is going to be pretty unpopular with the HR folks and the corporate culture police. The reality is that top producers, particularly in sales and in new business development and hunting roles, that top producers are some of the most selfish people I work with. They've got no problem shooing you away if you're a time waster. They decline your invitations to meetings. They guard their calendar jealously and protect their selfish selling time because they know what they need to focus on to move the needle and drive results. And it's not a popular message, but it's the truth.
Right. So it's okay. I mean, there's no coincidence that Scrooge was doing okay. you're raising a very good point. And I love that this is a topic that gets a rise out of people. And the thing that I picked up from the blog post that you wrote about this topic was that, you know, a lot of times we think we're doing the right thing by being generous with our time, responding to everyone, helping out, pitching in. In fact, though, we're often not doing the job that we're really there to be doing. So, in fact, we're not doing something good. We feel that we are, but it's really distracting us from I think you call them, you know, the high impact items, what's really going to move the needle.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. And what drives me crazy is usually it's the folks that are not making their numbers. It's those that are underperforming that seem to have the largest list of other non-high payoff activities that they're involved in. They seem to find ways to volunteer for different committees, and they are the most generous when it comes to providing technology support for their colleagues. And somehow they find all kinds of ways to jump in and help the operations people. I mean, it is not uncommon for me to find an underperforming salesperson who is volunteering to help out the operations folks or, you know, the program managers. And whether they're jumping in to deal with like an onboarding of a new client, or they're, in a simple field sales job, they're jumping in their car and making a delivery to a customer. And they do it, you know, with good intentions and in the name of customer service or being a great team player, you know, in the organization. But the truth is, it's a really convenient excuse for not working on the important high payoff activities that move the needle. And it's a problem. I mean, and it's not just a problem. It's an insidious, deadly problem, because when folks act real nice and play team player and good corporate ambassador, you know, they feel like they're doing the right thing, and they appreciate the fact that they're busy, and it makes them feel good about themselves. And that's really where it's dangerous. And the truth is, Jonathan, in most organizations, there are very few people that can move the revenue needle. You know, I was given a talk for a very large client last week that I think they had 20,000 employees, and I was standing up in front of a room of 110 business development people. And my core message was really simple. I mean, the other 19,890 employees, their livelihood is depending on your success doing your primary job. And that primary job is not deliveries, it's not operations, it's not program management, it's finding new business. And, you know, your job is to pick up a weapon and go kill something. And every time you get distracted from doing that, you think you're helping, and actually you're hurting the cause.
Wow, that's a powerful way to put it. So, you know, we recognize now, you know, this is a big problem. It's an insidious problem. What are some of the tips that you've been offering folks, specifically salespeople, on how to kind of focus back in and be selfishly productive?
Yeah, well, the first thing is, I think we need to call it what it is. I think we need to give ourselves permission to be selfish. And I mean that in the most positive way, because we've got to do our primary job. And, you know, there's a couple ways practically that you can execute this. But the simplest way, and this is, I mean, it's going to sound uber simplistic. You take back control of your calendar. And the larger the company that you work for, the more important I think this coaching is for you. You know, we're in this age where it has become fashionable to put appointments on other people's calendars. And it seems like the larger the organization, the more prevalent that is. And so it's like this game that folks look at your calendar, and if you don't have it filled up with activity, they invite you to things because they want you to attend. You know, right. It's helpful. If you're going to a meeting, certainly you're busy and important. And, you know, I do say that very tongue-in-cheek. And I think one of the easiest things we can do is take control of our calendar and time block. You know, and time block's that discipline of making appointments with yourself for things you need to work on. And right. Get those things in your calendar out of the way first so other people can't fill it up. And then, frankly, if you take the step of making the appointment with yourself, then for goodness sakes, keep the appointment. You know, kind of like the Seinfeld episode where, you know, Jerry reserves the car and he shows up there and there's no car. And he says, hold on. You know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold it. And really, you know, the holding is the most important part. And same thing. You got to schedule the time block and then you've got to keep it. And that's really one of the simplest things I can offer folks.
Right. I think it's a great suggestion. And, you know, one thing that we were talking about actually before this call is, you know, this isn't just a problem for salespeople, although it is a big problem for them, especially at this time of year. This is actually a problem that impacts people from the top down. So I'd love to hear, you know, more about, as you've been going to organizations across the country, you've been finding this in CEOs down to, you know, business development reps. I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, the different positions you've seen this prevalent in.
Yeah, that's a great question. This is not isolated to sales folks. I see it up and down the organization, companies big and small. I see in a lot of mid-sized companies, even the CEO ends up playing administrator in chief. You know, and I'm not sure if it's just in the name of being a good leader, thinking that if I, you know, I'm a sacrificial servant leader, that people will follow my example. And I'm all for servant leadership. I've written about servant leadership. But when I see a CEO playing you know, administrator in chief and trying to do like coordinating of people's schedules. And I think, what are you doing? You know, we're all looking to you for vision and direction and setting the pace, and you're, you know, caught up in your underwear and all kinds of minutia. That's not helpful. And then it plays itself out at the management level. I see all the time sales managers who take on initiatives that are not anywhere near tied to revenue. And they are indirectly. You know, I've got a situation with a client where the VP of sales, their company's having some quality issues in the way they're engineering new products. And because this VP of sales has a pretty good technical background, he's jumping in to not just the firefighting, trying to appease the customer who's frustrated, which that part I understand, but he's jumping into the planning meetings, trying to solve these technical issues, you know, with the engineering folks.
Oh, right.
And that's all happening while the sales team's out there floundering. And I'm like, dude, that's not your job. There are really smart engineers in your company. Get the heck out of there, and you get out with your folks and help them knock down some walls. So, you know, it's there. And then you just got the typical sales manager who's the dumping ground, you know, and he puts on his firefighter's hat instead of, like, maybe his Navy SEAL helmet. You know, and he's just trying to put out every fire, appease every customer, babysit his high-maintenance people, and allowing people in the company to keep giving him work to do, because if it has anything to do with the customer, surely it's the sales manager's issue. And that's not healthy. I mean, we've got to push work off of our desk, not let people put more work on our desks.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, before you were talking about, you know, one simple tip is, you know, take control of your calendar, you know, structure your day more tightly and really own it. What about, you know, leveraging help?
Yeah.
You know, learning how to say no, but also be one of those people who is not just taking everything onto their desk, but trying to, you know, very smartly look at what they can offload onto the people around them.
Boy, that's a big one. And I'm learning that for myself. You know, I've got a solo practice, and I'm committed to staying a solo practitioner in my consulting and speaking business. Having said that, there's a reality in my world. You know, there are three or four things I should be doing all the time. You know, I should be, if I'm not consulting or creating content or marketing for my own business, I'm probably doing the wrong thing. And as my business has grown, the reality is I find myself all the time doing the wrong thing. And this goes back to what I heard Brian Tracy, who's got, you know, 97 books that all mostly say the same thing. But the thing is, they're all great. And, you know, I heard him at a conference, I don't know, 12 years ago. And this is the question he asked. He said, salespeople, multiple times a day, you should ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now leading to a sale? And man, that just stuck with me, Jonathan. And I, all day long, we should be asking ourselves, is what I'm doing right now, whatever our job is it leading to what I'm supposed to be doing? And I found myself, the answer more often than not recently was no, just because I was too busy. And I did reach out for help. I was reading a lot about virtual assistants and help, and I actually got hooked up with a pretty neat company called EA Help, and got to know some folks there. And I have engaged the help of a virtual assistant, very affordable. I cannot tell you the excitement I have as I offload cleaning out my inbox and travel planning and coordinating scheduling for all my trips and individual folks I'm coaching or consulting. And I feel totally freed up in the sense that I'm taking things off my plate. And honestly, I'm actually encouraging some senior executives I work with. You know, they're in, you know, guys in $500 million companies, but they've had some cutbacks and they're operating really lean because of, you know, where the economy's been the last few years. And I've got senior executives that don't have any admin support, you know, leading gigantic divisions. And I see these guys, you know, buried in 500 emails and trying to travel plan for their team for a meeting. And I'm thinking, you're kidding me, right? Like, there's no way that's moving the needle on your business. So, yeah, I think, one, being selfish and saying no. Two, taking control of the calendar. But if there is an affordable way to offload some work so you can focus on what will move the needle, let's do it.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that that piece of advice, you know, is what you're doing right now moving you closer to getting a sale. You know, extending that past salespeople, one thing that we do at OpenView, me personally, you know, we have our goals in front of us all the time, our quarterly goals, our annual goals. And the top items, I like that idea of having them actually printed out and just kind of like stapled, you know, right in front of your desk where you're constantly looking at it to keep your priorities straight.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people make fun of that. You know, I always laugh at, you know, oh, you're writing down your goals. But, you know, all the data shows that people that write them down and talk about them are more successful. So why do we try to reinvent the wheel? I mean, same thing with business development folks. Those people that write down their target prospects and carry those names around and they write down their goals of what they're trying to, you know, how many new accounts they're trying to open or what kind of revenue they're trying to build, those are the ones that hit them because it's a constant reminder day in and day out. This is what I am supposed to be doing. Right. And I think in the world we're in today where, you know, everyone has access to you. I mean, it's the addiction we all have to our smartphone and the buzz we get from the inbound email and the text message and the Twitter, you know, retweet and everything else. I mean, we're so accessible. And if we don't keep our eye on the prize, it's so easy to be distracted. There's so many inbound, you know, demands on our time and distractions that it's almost impossible if the key stuff's not front and center.
Right. It's inbound. It's a very powerful tool. Can also be a bottomless pit if you allow it to be. So I like all of your tips. It's all about taking charge of that, not letting these activities run you. You're actually running your own schedule. I think this is a good segue to, you know, kind of look forward to next year. We're right on the cusp of it. You know, we've been talking about some good tips, I think, for setting priorities and really kind of focusing on what really matters. But do you have any other tips for salespeople to help them get 2014 kind of started on the right foot?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I would say is, you know, do some planning, do some year-end postmortem analysis, and then write your plan for next year. It's so simple, but it works. I take a look at what did you do this year that worked that you need to do more of, and what did you do this year that did not work that you need to stop doing immediately. And what you stop doing is just as important as what you start doing. And then I would say going forward, I've written about this. It's in the book. I've got a blog post on it. Someone wants to search it. Salespeople need individual business plans. You've got to carve out on paper, what are your goals specifically? Mm-hmm. Everything from income to number of new accounts open to types of cross-sell opportunities. Write down the goals. Write down a few strategies that you're going to, the how you're going to get to those goals. And then create your own list of actions and activity metrics which you're going to hold yourself accountable to. Self-management, me management is what I'm starting to call it. And you'll be hearing more about me management in the near future here. It's a critical success factor. So take a look at last year and decide what you need to keep doing and what you need to stop doing. And then just be ruthless in planning out what you want to do going forward. And then hold yourself accountable.
All right, Mike. That's great advice, as always. For our listeners, I can't recommend more. Going to Mike's website, it's newsalescoach.com, reading his blog, signing up to get it regularly, check out the book, New Sales Simplified, it's fantastic. Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time, and aside from those things, your website, is there any place else that you direct listeners to go to get in touch or to follow up on you?
First, let me say thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you and what you folks are doing. I love your newsletter. I look forward to it every weekend for the fun assortment of content that you assemble and put out there, bringing value to folks. So thank you for that. And thank you for the support of what I'm doing. I think you got it pretty much covered. I would say one other place, if you want to follow me, is I'm pretty active on Twitter, and my handle is Mike_Weinberg, WEINBERG, Mike_Weinberg. And if you like fantasy football or little inside humor and then some sales tips, you can keep up with me there.
Nice. Okay, well, Mike, thank you so much again for helping us learn the value of being a little bit more selfish during the holidays. And happy holidays to you.
And to you. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
All right, thanks again. Take care.